With all the physical changes a body goes through, sleeping can become increasingly difficult as pregnancy advances. It can be hard to find a comfortable position to sleep in. But don't lose hope. There are ways to support and relax that tired pregnant body. I'm Nicole Trombley, a pregnancy massage therapist, and today we're talking about sleep comfort in pregnancy. This is Preggy Pals.
Is that a plus sign?
Pink or blue?
Hospital or home birth?
What type of food should I be eating?
I think I just peed myself.
I'm pregnant, and I have to exercise.
What pregnancy glow?
Wait, was that a contraction?
Gotta make these pants fit. I've got kinkles.
What do you mean there's more than one?
You've got the symptoms, and now you've got the support you need for a happy 9 months. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way.
Welcome to Preggy Pals, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Preggy Pals is your online, on-the-go support group for expecting parents and those hoping to become pregnant. I'm your host, Stephanie Glover. Thank you to all of our loyal listeners who have joined the Preggy Pals Club. Our members get special episodes, plus special giveaways and discounts. See our website for more information. Another way that you can stay connected is by downloading our free Preggy Pals app, available in the Android, iTunes, and Windows marketplaces. I'll hand it over to Samantha, our producer, who's going to give us some information on our virtual panelist program.
Thanks, Stephanie. So if you don't live in San Diego, but you want to still be a part of our discussion here at Preggy Pals, head over to Facebook and like our New Mommy Media and Preggy Pals Facebook page, and follow us on Instagram using hashtag Preggy Pals. We'll post questions before our show starts, and we'd love for you to comment so we can incorporate your thoughts into our show. For more information, head to our website and go to the community section, www.preggypals.com.
Thanks. So we're going to go ahead and just go around to the different panelists that we have joining us today and introduce ourselves. I'll start. My name is Stephanie Glover. I'm 32 years old. I'm the new host of Preggy Pals, and I'm also and I'm also a stay-at-home mom to my two girls. Gretchen is almost 3, and Lydia is 10 months old. I had 2 hospital births, one a cesarean and the other a VBAC.
My name is Annie Laird. I'm 36 years old. I'm a labor doula, and I was a former host of Preggy Pals, but today I'm just a panelist. I have 3 little girls, a 9-year-old, a 2-year-old, and an 8-month-old. And the first one was a hospital birth. The second was a home birth turned hospital transfer. And then the third was a home birth.
I am Samantha. I am the producer of Preggy Pals. I'm 22 years old. I'm currently a stay-at-home mom, though looking for full-time employment. I have a 20-month-old named Olivia. She was an unplanned cesarean and hoping for a VBAC sometime in the future.
And I am Sunny. I'm the owner of New Mommy Media, which produces Preggy Pals, Twin Talks, Parent Savers, and The Boob Group. One of these days, I'm going to forget a show. I'm running through them in my head. We're going to have so many at some point. I'm just going to be like, visit our website for more information. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm a mommy to 4 kids, 4 children currently under the age of 4. My oldest is 4. His name's Sayer. My middle guy is Urban. He is age 2. And then I have identical twin girls who are 7 months old. So when it comes to sleeping and while I was pregnant, I didn't get all that much of it, especially with the twins.
You are
the bigger
expert.
You are, the harder it is.
Hi, Preggy Pals. We have a question from one of our listeners for our experts. Susie in Dahlgren writes, I'm seeing a chiropractor regularly, but are there any benefits to bringing my new baby to see him?
Hey, Susie. This is Dr. Tyson Perez. I'm a pediatric and family chiropractor at Elevation Family Chiropractic in Carlsbad. And you asked about the benefits of your newborn seeing a chiropractor. And there absolutely are benefits. So to know whether your newborn needs a chiropractic adjustment or not, a pediatric chiropractor will use neuroscans or neurological scans to look at the function of the child and see if the brain and the body are connected appropriately. And if they're not, the chiropractor can use very gentle and safe adjustments in order to restore that communication. By restoring proper communication between the brain and the body, the child is able to perceive and adapt to the environment appropriately. I hope that answers your question. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
So today we're going to be discussing ways to make sleeping more comfortable in pregnancy. Joining here in the studio is Nicole Trombley. Nicole is a certified massage therapist and restorative exercise specialist, specializing in massage for pregnancy and postpartum. Welcome to Preggy Pals, Nicole. It's great to have you.
Yay! Thanks for having me here.
Awesome. So sleep is always such a big component of pregnancy. In your experience, how common is it for pregnant women to have difficulty sleeping?
Well, if you talk to pregnant women, it is extremely common. I think studies say that depending on what study you look at, anywhere between 75 and 95% of women report sleep disturbances by the end of their third trimester.
Who are those 5%? That's what I want to know.
Right?
Yeah.
They're just in denial. Yeah.
Liars.
So pretty darn common.
Yeah. Right.
Pretty darn common.
And yeah. How about Samantha? Did you have any difficulty sleeping in your pregnancy?
You know, it wasn't so bad in the beginning. Like, I'm sure most people have this same complaint. Like, in the beginning, it wasn't bad. You could still sleep on your stomach. It was not a problem. And then when I got big, it was a big problem because we were sleeping in a full-sized bed. So it was me and her dad and, like, me as being, like, 1.5 people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was definitely a struggle.
Well, and Samantha brings up a good point about the growing belly. So what is it about the pregnant body that can impact sleep?
You know, it's a whole range of things. So depending on the woman in her pregnancy, it can be anything from the uterus pressing on the bladder. So, of course, pregnant women have to get up to pee many more times in the night than they're used to getting up. But women also experience, you know, once they're far enough along the pregnancy, they some women really experience the fetal movement a lot at night. And so they may have a probably wonderfully adorable little one who is just kicking around, but sometimes it can be really disruptive to mom. Sometimes it's fun, but sometimes it's really disruptive to her sleep. Some women get heartburn at night while they're trying to sleep. Just because they're in a horizontal position, they really feel it pushing up a lot more. So heartburn can really get in their way. A lot of women get anxiety in their pregnancy, and their normal ways of dealing with anxiety aren't available to them, whether it be a glass of wine or medication or jogging. Things change. So a lot of times people are dealing with some emotional changes at night, during their pregnancy that they experience in the dark of night. You know, other changes that happen just because of the way the shape of the abdomen changes, it can change the breathing when you're lying horizontal. So there's oftentimes an increase in snoring in pregnancy, and there's a lot of attention now being given to an increase in sleep apnea in pregnancy. And they've actually been looking to find connections between onset of preeclampsia and snoring and sleep apnea.
That's
and I don't know, the conclusions on that. But then one of the other big, big things that gets in the way of pregnant women having a comfortable night's sleep is comfort. And they could be, because of their body shape, forced to sleep in positions they're not used to sleeping in, which feels really awkward to them. And they could be experiencing a lot of pain. And this could be pain that they experience all the time during the day, and it could be just stuff that they feel at night. And oftentimes it's things like low back pain. You hear that classic low back pain that women experience in pregnancy. But it can also be rib pain, carpal tunnel syndrome, their limbs are falling asleep, leg cramps, like all these sorts of discomforts happening at night. So it can be, it's a long list of stuff that really.
So much going on in that body.
Yeah, yeah.
And is. I mean, are there sleep positions to avoid in pregnancy?
Well, this is complicated. This is really complicated, and it's a little bit controversial, and there's been some studies out lately that have made it even more controversial. Yeah, the position we sleep in, particularly when we're pregnant, has physiological implications, and the largest implication it has is it influences our blood dynamics. So when you're laying flat on your back and you've got a very pregnant belly, there is a chance. It's not a 100% guarantee for all women, but there's a chance that that really pregnant uterus, it's heavy, is going to weigh down on your major blood vessels, so like your aorta and your vena cava, like those big ones. And that is going to minimize your blood flow to your back to your heart a little bit, and it can end up with you feeling dizzy and passing out. So there's, in general, the recommendation is not to sleep on your back. That's actually hard to give that as a universal precaution, because some recent studies have been showing that for some women laying on their back, they actually have increased blood flow. It's really complicated. And I think it has a lot more to do, though the studies haven't shown it yet, with baby's position in the uterus, and that's going to have more of an impact. But they're not that specific in these studies. They're not looking at that. But the other big restriction that pregnant women hear a lot is that they're told to sleep just on their left side.
Yeah.
And it's
Why is that?
Well, the assumption is, and there's a lot of data supporting this assumption, that laying on your left side is going to interfere less with the blood flow
to the baby, right?
Back to mom's heart, and then eventually to the baby.
Okay.
What we're finding out, though, is that, again, that's not universal. It's some women are experiencing that, and it used to be that this was a recommendation that was given for women with really high-risk pregnancies. So we're talking women who had really bad high blood pressure, women with, they were really worried about the baby's size, that they had really small babies and they weren't really sure what was going on, and so they were really concerned about the blood flow. And somehow in the past 20 years, because of Dr. Google and all of the sort of information resources available to us as moms.
Alarmist books.
Yeah. We won't mention any titles, right? Yeah. There's definitely in the alarmist books.
Well, it's hard to toss and turn at night if you're told not to toss and turn, you know, and you're stuck there on your left side.
And part of the complication with that is that as humans, we're meant to roll around in bed. Right? Just by ourselves or with other people, but you're meant to roll around. And, you know, we know this just from, you know, caring for people who are bedridden. And it's like, we need to move them around so they don't get bed sores. And it's like, we know this, we're supposed to move around in our sleep. It's better for full body circulation. It's better for muscles, so that if you force yourself on one side all the time, you end up with a lot of discomforts. So, you know, the left side lying rule, you know, it's not within my scope of practice to make a recommendation. I'm a massage therapist to my clients at all. But what I really encourage them to do is to really talk with their care provider about it. Because it really used to be a recommendation that was for these really complicated pregnancies. And it's really between the woman and her care provider to know everything about her pregnancy and not Dr. Google. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's really a safer thing. So.
And I've seen too in reading about, you know, what is that cutoff point for not laying on your back? Because sometimes they say, well, it's later, maybe midway through pregnancy. But then I've also heard sometimes your body just gives cues when it's no longer appropriate. If you are feeling faint, maybe, or having blood pressure issues or something.
No, and exactly. And the experts ultimately always say, oh, well, and if you do feel faint, just roll over and it resolves immediately. Yeah. And so it's not that big of a concern. Mm-hmm.
Now, there are a lot of stomach sleepers.
Yeah.
And how do you reconcile that in pregnancy? Is it safe? Is it safe at any point in pregnancy? Or is it just overall not recommended?
You know, well, that's another one, again, that I'd refer, you know, with the safety question, refer back to a care provider. But I will say that there's alternatives. I definitely a group of women that I have, I'm not a stomach sleeper, but I have the most sympathy for it because it's the hardest one to accommodate, right? That you're so used to sleeping on your stomach and you just...
I mean, at least if you're a back sleeper, you could put a wedge or a pillow so you're not completely on your back, but kind of on your side, sort of, you know, but
I'm a stomach sleeper.
Well, what did you do?
Yeah, how did you handle that?
And I just couldn't do it when I was pregnant.
Well, I mean, did you not do it during even the first trimester? Because you didn't
I did it for as long as I could.
Yeah.
I really did. I don't know if that was bad for the baby or not, but that's just how I sleep much better. You know, my issue now, I'm not pregnant obviously anymore, but my boobs fill up really easily at night, and then that's uncomfortable for me. So I've really had to adjust so that I can sleep in other positions and not make it be so awkward for me. I do a lot of side lying now, especially if you've got if you're side nursing in bed or something like that, then you fall asleep that way. Your body kind of gets used to that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love sleeping on my tummy. I love it.
And what are some of the adaptations?
Well,
for
one of the things I coach stomach sleepers to play around with, and I don't think it works for everyone, but it definitely works for some women, is to think about why you're a stomach sleeper. So when you're sleeping on your stomach, one of the things that makes it such a satisfactory experience is that you're getting pressure and tactile stimulation on your abdomen and on your chest, right? It's like it's tactile. You're getting a physiological response from that.
It's like a hug. It's someone hugging you.
It totally is. And that's sending a signal to your brain that, okay, I'm safe. Mm-hmm. It's time to sleep, right? So I encourage women, how can you then recreate that on your side? And for some women, it's helpful to be hugging a hard pillow, as long as you've got temperature control and it's not too hot in the room, but hugging something and putting firm things against you while you're lying on your side to kind of try and recreate some of that tactile stimulation that's going to give that. It works for some women. And another thing that you can try is not laying perpendicular to the bed on your side, but rolling over kind of on a three quarters, right? And so you're going to need a body pillow or something that you can put between your legs and swing your arm over, but you're halfway on your belly, halfway on your side, but you're not putting your body weight fully on top of your belly, and it's something you can manage. I don't know that that's going to be perfect for neck pain and back pain, but it's definitely, if you can get a good night's sleep, there's so much value to that for your mental health and physical well-being that it's definitely worth trying.
That's tough, though. If you're rolling around a lot, I don't know if you guys roll around a lot in your sleep, but if you're moving, I remember they told me that too, especially when I was pregnant with the twins, not to lay just on my back. They really wanted me to be kind of on my side. And I'm like, but between my husband flipping and flopping in his sleep, which I swear the guy gets airborne when he does it, between that and just my own personal, comfort, we're moving around quite a bit,
It's easier said than done.
It is.
Yeah. And I remember I was a back sleeper, and I got so in my head that I wasn't supposed to be on my back. I almost felt that interrupted my sleep. I would, roll onto my back and then be woken up very alarmed.
And
kind of guilty that I allowed myself to be comfortable in that position. Yeah. And Annie, how about you? Did you, what kind of sleeper were you? Did you have to make modifications?
No, I was always on the left side. But
that's convenient.
Yeah. Yeah, well, left side, right side, I'm a side sleeper.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was just disturbed sleep was, especially my first pregnancy, where it annoyed me. I have a right to sleep through the night. And then ended quickly. And then
went away.
Exactly. But
You were a mom.
And then I was a mom. Yeah, until she started sleeping through the night consistently, which took a while. But, Nicole, you mentioned it with the bladder waking up. That was my thing. And then, I just kind of took the viewpoint of, this is with my second baby, not my first. With my second baby, when I had this baby, I'm going to be getting up a lot of times in the middle of the night. So this is just Mother Nature's way of getting me ready to not sleep 8 hours in a row. And nobody really, I don't think, sleep 8 hours in a row anyways. There's awakenings that we all have in the middle of the night. We just don't remember them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, and we're definitely going through different levels of sleep that, some are deep, deep, where we can't even move. And then we move more into the dream stage, mm-hmm. and we move into more light sleep where we flop around. Yeah.
Great. So when we come back, we'll discuss recommendations for positions that will help with sleep. We'll be right back. So welcome back. Today on Preggy Pals, we're discussing comfortable and beneficial sleep positions for pregnant women. Certified massage therapist Nicole Trombley is our expert. So which sleep positions are recommended for pregnant women? I know we talked about some of the limitations, but how can we really get comfortable in pregnancy?
Well, the key is really complicated. It's a lot of pillows, and it's easy for you once you get them in the bed, and it's really hard for everybody else in the bed. It really is. The easiest position really is going to be that side lying position, and it's easiest because we can prop, you can get propped up with lots of pillows to help maintain it, but it's kind of the position you can be in that you can get the best alignment for your neck and your spine and your back, and kind of hopefully get you back to a little bit more of a neutral position and let your muscles restore themselves. And
And I know we can't see because we're just over the radio, but could you explain where would we place those pillows?
All over the place. All over the place.
Build a fort?
No, seriously. So if we start at your head, right? Okay. So we'll do the whole body. You start at your head. So if you're sleeping on your side, and if you're not a regular side sleeper, when you sleep on your side, that's the time when you need a slightly thicker pillow for your neck, right? So if you've got just like the really flat dead pillows, you sometimes want just two of those flat dead pillows, or you want a slightly thicker pillow. And some experts recommend that you want your neck to be a perfect continuation of your spine, so it's in one straight line, so that if you looked at yourself, you're facing yourself, you'd see your nose in line with your navel, they say, and hopefully your belly button hasn't gone off in some strange direction. So you've got those, you've got your neck really supported. And then oftentimes for pregnant women, we'll want to tuck something under her belly. And this isn't, not every woman wants this. And sometimes baby's in a position where they're just going to reject your pillow. Or if you're carrying multiples, this might be just too much support under your belly. But putting a belly pillow, and often just like a little throw pillow or something, or rolled up towel, oftentimes that will move your uterus back up towards the midline of your body. When you're just laying there on your side, your uterus drops down towards your bed, right? Because babies like flop around, right? It just drops down. So if you put something under it, it's going to move it back up to the midline of the body. And that's going to help take some pressure off of your uterine ligaments. So some women are having some ligament pain. And it's also going to take pressure off of your low back. And so this is a really nice one for women. And then the next thing you want to do is you want to prop your legs up, right? So legs, we can, some women find it really helpful just to put pillows between their knees. And then other women need a little more support than that, right? So instead of just one pillow between their knees, we really need about three pillows. And these are the women who tend to be experiencing sciatica in pregnancy, or SI joint pain, so the sacroiliac joint, which is kind of that low back, really sharp pain that some women experience. And the more support they can put under their legs, I mean, I'm serious, like three thick pillows, like really thick. That's really going to help put their leg in a position that it's not going to aggravate that low back. So that becomes a really critical one. And then another great pillow for women is when you're laying on your side, so you've got your neck supported, your belly supported, your legs supported. We're talking, what is that, like five, six pillows already? Is to get another little something, and it could be a teddy bear. I don't know. But another pillow to hug. And sometimes that's going to actually take the weight of your arm and put it into the pillow, and it's not dangling from your neck anymore. So it's going to take a little bit of strain off of women's neck. So that can be, that's kind of a recommendation of like a general setup of pillows that...
That's great. Well, and you see those full body pillows, or you see the specific pregnancy pillows that are like that J shape or like a C shape. Are those sufficient if you don't have 20 extra pillows in your house?
They can be. They really work for some women. Some women find that those pillows collapse too quickly. Like they have too much give. They're actually too soft. Mm-hmm. Right, and a lot of women actually fold them in half and actually use them as a double pillow to put between their legs because they need something that's going to support them all night or for a couple hours and not compress. So a lot of women, it's a great pillow for them. Other women, they do what they can with it. Right. They modify it. But, you know, the other thing people can do is they can make their own pillows because your needs and bed are going to change throughout the pregnancy. As you get bigger, you may develop discomforts or new ones. They may disappear. Sometimes we just encourage women to take like a giant king size pillow and shove towels and small pillows from around the house. And so you've got this giant king size pillow that's now full, and it's now like this giant bolster for you, or like a rolled up sleeping bag. And these are great pillows to support your legs as you're laying in bed. If that's a great alternative to a $100 pillow.
Right. And I've even heard, you know, because so many of us get those nursing pillows that are, you know, on small scale, but you can use those too.
Absolutely.
In like the prenatal phase.
And absolutely.
Supporting your belly or between your legs.
Absolutely.
So, great. Yeah. Those are great tips. And so we touched on sciatica, but I know a lot of pregnant women get leg cramps. And are there any positions or anything that can help with that?
Yes. There's, in terms of pillows and sleeping and the leg cramps, one of the things you can... This helps some women is to make sure that your entire leg from hip to toes is fully supported on pillows. Sometimes we just put pillows between our thighs and then your lower leg and your foot is dangling. And that can make it that part of your leg a little more vulnerable to a wider range of movements while you're sleeping, and that, you know, you may put yourself more at risk for like one of those sudden leg cramps. But with leg cramps, the best thing to do is preventative. Like, the leg cramps are happening because of what's happening in your body all day long, not just at night. And so the recommendations for stretching and talking to your doctor about electrolytes are actually really key. And the stretching is like,
did anyone experience really leg cramps in pregnancy
yes.
at night?
Oh my gosh.
Did anything help that you noticed? Or?
Not that it, well, I mean, I guess I kind of just dealt with it as they came. Like, I would wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, okay, like, I gotta stretch this out. So I'd like grab my toe and stretch it out. And then at that point, I was like, all right, I'm going back to sleep.
Right.
And then during the day, it never really crossed my mind, like, could I do something to prevent that? I kind of just dealt with it. But now in hindsight, like, maybe if I had drank a Gatorade, or maybe if I had had a banana before I went to sleep, like, maybe that would have helped.
Yeah.
So are these Charlie horses? Is that what we're talking
yeah,
about?
I think
when
so.
We say leg cramps? Okay, yeah, I did. I had some of those, too. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, more of my pain was more like, felt more like up near the hip or something.
Yes,
like trying to lift up my leg to put it in pants or something. You know what I mean? With that, that's when I really, that was most of my...
Yeah, I started to notice when I got bigger, and funnily enough, I notice it now post-pregnancy, but I didn't notice it pre-pregnancy. If I lay on my side for too long, whatever hip is down at the mattress, if I've been in that position too long, it hurts really bad, and I'm like, I need to move this second. And then I'd roll over, and it kind of would, it would just, the pain would just dissipate. And it started in pregnancy and continues now, even if I don't have a big old baby. My belly.
In what position are your legs bent when you're doing that?
Probably.
Yeah.
My best guess.
Sometimes it's about your mattress, but sometimes it's about what part of your pelvis is actually hitting the mattress, right? So sometimes you can straighten your legs out, play with just trying to find, tuck your tailbone, untuck your tailbone, and try and see if you can get a different part of your pelvis hitting the mattress so that it's taking the weight, right? And then the other thing you can do is get like a little piece of foam and put it under your hips.
Oh.
Which is like totally high maintenance. Like, all this pillow stuff is so high maintenance, right? It totally is. But, you know, and particularly if you've got a little one in bed with you.
Yeah, that's like a good crazy. Point. She's still with me. So
yeah.
That should be another point.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, the pillow certainly was high maintenance and not welcomed by my husband, because
right.
I had one of those pregnancy pillows. So
yeah.
It was like a third person in the bed.
Huge.
And he's
huge.
A cuddler. So it was like this barrier. So he like couldn't get to me.
Get this thing out of here.
He was very, yes, very happy when I rehomed it.
What do we need to know, if anything, about the type of mattresses we're using? How does that factor into this? Because I know, not that we're all going to run out and buy a new mattress, but like, we've got a pillow top mattress, which we like really soft and fluffy and happy. But I know, you know, some other people like really hard mattresses. Does that weigh into this at all? Like, what the body needs during pregnancy?
It doesn't. I would say that there's not a universal answer to it. There's, or even a general answer to it, that it's really going to depend on most women's experiences. I have a lot of clients who get really upset that they spend a lot of money on a mattress right before they got pregnant because their needs change. That hopefully some of them can just, you know, buy a less expensive pillow top to change the firmness of their bed to whichever direction they need to go in. But I don't have a universal
maybe
answer.
Maybe that's why we need to get the ones with the numbers, the
right?
sleep number
oh,
one,
yeah.
so we can just adjust it.
There you go.
What a good idea.
There's a pregnancy setting.
All the pillows come up out of it.
I think we need to partner with a company and create a pregnancy setting.
If trying new positions isn't helping with discomfort, what else can a woman try? Are there certain stretches, exercises, massage? What are options for women?
Well, depending on how severe the discomfort is, like, if it's, you know, obviously if it's interfering with your daily activities, you definitely want to check in with your care provider. And physical therapy is a fantastic option for people, because the changes that happen in pregnancy can happen pretty fast for some people's bodies, and particularly if you're carrying multiples. And physical therapy can really help you get the balance of muscle strength back where you need it. Like, which muscles need to be strong, they can help figure that out. But yeah, sometimes acupuncture, chiropractic, massage can all help bring your body back to neutral and get some of those muscles to let go and kind of resolve some of the discomfort a little bit. My advice to women is often we need to use, this isn't just for pregnant women, we need to use the discomfort we feel at night in bed kind of as information. Like, that even if this, you know, low back pain I only feel at night, something's going on. And what is it telling me? What is it telling me about imbalances that are happening in my body? And, you know, and I'll get all geeky on myself about hip strength, but it's, you know, it's like, okay, well, does that mean my lateral hips are not strong? And, you know, the average woman isn't going to be asking that specific question, but she can definitely kind of get a sense of there's something going on and I need to seek some, you know, outside resources, whether it's Dr. Google or if it's a massage therapist or another care provider, to kind of give her some sense of what's going on and help her think big picture about that. Because sometimes a lot of the stuff that's happening in pregnancy is pelvic related. And that's definitely not something we want to play with, because it can affect, and play with in terms of ignore, mm-hmm. I guess not play with, we want to play with it, because it can affect fetal positioning. It can affect your pelvic mobility and how much access you have to different movements in your pelvis going into delivery. It can affect your pelvic floor health and postpartum recovery and, you know, your lifelong relationship with your pelvis and in terms of, you know, continence and all of these issues, it is really something to pay attention to. So I definitely encourage women to kind of use that as like, what is this telling me? What's going on and how can I find out?
And with massage being an option, is massage, well, and physical therapy, are those options throughout pregnancy, or are absolutely. You supposed to stop? Or so massage,
physical
as well,
physical
or?
Therapy, absolutely.
Okay,
massage therapy. If most massage providers who are not don't hold certification in prenatal massage will not perform massage on first trimester moms or anyone who has a high risk. That is not meaning that it is not safe in first trimester. That's their personal liability exclusion. But it is absolutely, you know, if you see a trained provider, you can absolutely get massage in your first trimester.
Well, great. Thank you, Nicole, for joining us today. For more information about Nicole, as well as information about any of our panelists, visit the episode page on our website. This conversation continues for members of our Preggy Pals Club. After the show, Nicole is going to talk about how pregnancy discomforts affect babies' positioning. To join our club, visit our website, preggypals.com.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Durbin, the author of Pregnancy Tips for the Clueless Chick and the mother of two wonderful little boys. I would love to give you all of the inside info you need to find the right pediatrician. Finding a pediatrician for your little one before he or she is born is an important and daunting task if you don't know where to start or what to ask. Like many of your pregnancy questions, you can benefit from asking for recommendations from friends, coworkers, and neighbors. You may also find that your OB or midwife has a list of recommended pediatricians. But first, get a list of pediatricians affiliated with the hospital or birth center where you plan to deliver. Simply check their website or give them a quick call. It's important that you select a pediatrician prior to delivery because most doctors will like to see the baby for their first checkup soon after your discharge from the hospital, and you don't want to be scrambling to find a pediatrician 24 hours after you've delivered. When you're looking for a doctor for your baby, keep in mind that if she's not affiliated with the hospital at which you're delivering, she will not be able to admit the baby to that hospital should complications arise. It's beneficial to meet with two or three pediatricians to get a better idea of the different styles of care available. It's very important to find a pediatrician that you're comfortable with. While you can always change doctors, it's important that in those first few weeks you feel very comfortable talking with your pediatrician should anything come up. Once you've compiled a list of 2 to 3 recommended doctors in your area, check their websites to see if they offer a Meet the Doctor evening or schedule an individual appointment. Before you venture into their office, remember to think about the questions you'll want to ask to ensure that their treatment methods are compatible with your family. When you finally settle on a pediatrician, don't forget to tell them your due date so that they'll be expecting a call from the hospital when the little one arrives. For even more great tips, visit cluelesschick.com.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Preggy Pals. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Parent Savers, for parents with newborns, infants, and toddlers, Twin Talks for parents of multiples, and our show Boob Group for moms who breastfeed their babies. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit New Mommy Media.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.